All right. We have been going through evangelics. Give me a second here. I have been presenting how to evangelize and share Christ as well as defend your faith. And we were looking at evidences in God in the cosmos, right? God in space, in the creation. God in morality. Do you remember all this? And then God in the person or life of Jesus Christ. And some real good defending points. And I hope you made notes. I hope either that or you memorized them. But there's a lot there to be able to engage people in a conversation about the gospel. It's about the gospel, right? The good news. And I've been saying a few times, we can't share the good news if we don't first tell them what the bad news is. And so we looked at that too. The world created perfect is now in sin. It's now corrupted. And the bad news is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The glory of God, when in that verse, means what God's intended purpose or glory was for you. You were intended to be a creation that would worship and praise and honor God. And all have fallen short of that. Okay? And so we've really covered those three things quite well. And then I said we were going to move into the relationship. And this is really important, especially today. Relationships are one of the easier identifiable things that people struggle with. Divorce, half marriages fail or more. And now we have this trend where the world loves sharing this. The divorce rate's going down. Did you hear that? Yeah, the divorce rate's declining. And the reason is, so less people are getting married. They're shacking up more than ever. And nobody knows about that when they break up. So the ones that do get married are more serious about marriage. And you know, here's another statistic too. It bothered me for a long time, and I got a book that really helped me understand a lot of things that were misconceptions about the church. You will hear people say the divorce rate in the church is the same as it is in the world. Have you ever heard that? It is. When you broaden the church as the church, and when you include the Catholic Church, religious, all Christian churches. But evangelical churches, we are one of those kind of churches. Every time I say this, people go, what does that mean? What kind of church are we? Wait, what have I got myself into here? What is this evangelical thing? What we're talking about right now, sharing Christ. We are not just religious and going and practicing religious things. We believe in the living Word, the living Savior, and we want to share the gospel with other people, right? So we evangelize those around us by the way we live our lives, by the things we say, and by our actions, the things we do for people, our ministries. We're evangelical. Well, in the evangelical church, the divorce rate drops to around 10%. Struggles to even get there. It's super low. So reason I bring things like that up is because people think they know about the church. It's our job to help them understand what the truth is. So we talk about relationship. God doesn't want a religion at all. There's several places in the Bible where God makes it clear, I didn't want your sacrifices. You ever heard that? Some of you are looking pretty blank. God told him to sacrifice, because, but I didn't want that. What did he want? I heard obedience, but what else? Yeah, well, love shows itself in obedience, right? We say we love God, right? It shows itself in obedience. That's right. That's right. If you love me, you keep my commandments. So, I do want to touch on one thing, though. Suzanne and I were watching James Webb telescope footage. That telescope, the newest one that's out there, that could see further than ever. and listening to young scientists and people talk about it with fascination, this one guy said, they get the idea to build this telescope so big that we can look back in time to the beginning of creation. Wow. He was like, I can't believe it. And I laugh about it. And sometimes Suzanne struggles with, why, what's so funny about that? None of these things are very factual. You got to remember that. We're basing it on things we know. We're stuck on this little tiny speck of dust almost, is when you look at the scale of the universe. And we're using principles we learn about this planet, and we're trying to apply it to all of creation. I don't think any of those things really work that way once we get out that far. But we don't know. So we just base it on that. The reason I'm bringing that up is because this is a new area in science that's going to get a lot of attention. This is a really good place for you to have some knowledge and be able to share God. Because some people are going to look at it this way. This proves you guys are wrong. Look at all that. You can't tell me God made that in 6 days. Okay? People are going to use that argument. Look at this. How do you explain all this? Don't you think there's life out there? What do you think? Anybody? There's trillions of stars. Just our galaxy has hundreds of millions of stars in it swirling around. The next closest one is 4.25 light years from our sun. I forget how many trillions of miles that is. It was 1.5 times 10 to the 13th. That's a 10 with 13 zeros. That's how many miles away the next closest one is. That's just the closest one. And then there's trillions of them that are so much further than that. Do you think there's life out there besides us? Well, here's what happens. In your mind, you go, well, there must be. What is all that? And this is the talk Suzanne and I have. She's looking at all these pictures, like, just, wow, look at all that. That's a galaxy, all these. Don't you think there is? Logically, my mind would say that's probably. But we have to stick to this. We don't know. And that's the simple answer. We don't know. When somebody says, don't you think there's life? Just go, we don't know. The Bible doesn't say anything about it. Science hasn't proven it. No, we have not found an alien. I don't care what anyone says. We have not. It would be much bigger news if there's such a thing. It's just impossible. Yeah. No, that's just it. They wouldn't have to look at us like us at all. You know, and because I was thinking a lot about this. You know, these planets, they're looking for a planet that looks like ours, that could support life. Why would it have to look like ours? God can make life in any form he wants. It could live on an acid bath planet. It could eat rocks. You know, life forms don't have to be like us as we. That's what I'm saying. We take the knowledge we have on this little speck of dust and we go, well, that must be how it is everywhere in the universe. Are you kidding me? Look at the size of it. I don't know what's going on out there. Really, it's none of my business, is what God says. Where were you when I made the Pleiades, which is a star, a comet, or some? What is the Pleiades? Constellation, yeah, group of stars. Yeah, were you there when I made that? That's what he asked Job. No, I wasn't. I have no idea what you're doing out there. So my point of all this is when we want to bring the argument or the discussion down to a realistic level. I don't know. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. Don't ever be dogmatic. It can't be, or there. We don't know, right? That should be satisfactory enough. So I'm bringing that up in the argument of God and the cosmos because I'm fascinated by it. I know a lot of people are, and it's a real good in. I got the opportunity to talk to a male nurse at the hospital because of that. Did you see all those pictures of that? I said, yes. And he wanted to know what I thought about it. I said, isn't it magnificent how big God is? He's bigger than we thought he was. And he just went, oh. I'm like, right. Didn't make God any different. It made him bigger to me. Because now we can see even further. We're just a billion years away from seeing the beginning of time. We missed building the telescope big enough by that much. But here's the thing. The light we're looking at had to have left at that time. So it doesn't look like that right now. Isn't that weird? So we look at these things. Even the sun, when you get light from the sun, is 8 minutes old. Do you know that? So a star, you're looking at it, could have already blown up. We'll find out in a few years. Okay. Any questions about that stuff? I'm going to leave that whole thing now. I want to move into the relationship. When we're evangelizing, when we're sharing the gospel, we want to make sure people understand we're talking about a relationship. We're not talking about serving a God that requires sacrifices and is mad because we sin. We're talking about a God that loves us, that wants to have a relationship with us, made us for that reason. Could you imagine, you know, and this is real easy because we make babies. Can you imagine making a baby and all you want it to do is love you and it doesn't? It actually turns around and goes, you're not even real. And some of you are laughing because your kids have done that. You're not my mom. Yeah, they turn. But that's the picture we have. God made us. He wants a relationship with us. Look, I brought you forth so I can know you. And I want to share so much with you if you would just listen to me. If you would just listen to me. And this is where we want to be able to promote the relationship with God with people. So I want to get into the relational aspect of God. Far too many people see God as an overwhelming presence that's not happy with them or some of the life decisions that they've made. Because everybody's kind of made some pretty bad decisions. And the ones that haven't are filled with pride, and that could be exposed pretty easily. I hope it's once. But people have the wrong view of God. They see Him as judging them now all the time, nagging them about the things that they do, always, you know, hanging over their head. They almost see Him as more of an adversary than a friend. Do you find that? They don't see God as a potential friend or a helper, but as an adversary, like somebody they're against. It's the same rebellion that's in a person towards law enforcement. They're really there to help. But we have this view that they're more trouble, that they're there to stop us from doing what we want to do. Right. And for the police, that's more true than God. God's not. So God's not an adversary. They are, because of that, they tend to be afraid of God. People are afraid of God, and therefore they're afraid to talk to you about Him. And that's where, you know, we need to be a little more fine-tuned as a church. If we're going to share the gospel with people, we need to understand that they're looking at God wrong, and we need to first bring that into focus. God is not this big, omnipresence of the universe that's just waiting to destroy you for doing all the bad things you did. So do all you can while you still can. It's not, that's not how it works. Right, they're going to think that right away. You want me to change. I don't want anyone to change. I love saying that. And make that part of your speak. I don't want you to change. I love you. You can say that. You know, I've told people that before, and they go, what do you mean? How can you say you love me? I go, not like the earth loves you. So I love you like God loves you. You are a person. You're an individual made by God in His image with a purpose and a plan. I'd hate to see you go down in flames. That's what I mean by loving you. And they just go, oh, what do I do with that? But that's the truth. And again, that's another in. So people are afraid of God, they're afraid to talk to you about Him. So with that in mind, what should be our approach when we're attempting to evangelize a person? What should be our motive? Love. Yeah, I just said it. It was a real easy one. Love. Love for Jesus. Love for other people. This is a sticking point for a lot of Christians. If you do not love people, there's something wrong with you as a Christian. And I'm just going to say that because it's totally true. You have to be able to freely love people. You're one. You're no different. God looked at you and you didn't look any different than the person next to you, your neighbor, or anybody else. And then you said, I want what you're giving away. He said, oh, good, here's one. And He filled you. Yes, Owen. That's right. That's exactly right. Bingo. Right. It is the main reason to share Jesus. Because I love you. That's why I want you to know this. Think about it like this. What's the greatest thing that has ever happened to you? Go ahead, I want you to answer. What's the greatest thing that ever happened to you, Ruth? Okay. What's the greatest thing that happened to you? Huh? Okay. Okay. When you met Jesus. Now are a lot of you going, well, yeah, that. That's actually the greatest thing. Is it when you met Jesus? Of course it is. Of course it is. And see, you have to think about that, because if that's not what you were thinking, you got to really wonder, how real is he to me? How real is this relationship I have if I don't even think of that right away? What's the greatest thing that ever happened to you? Thank God he reached down in a pit I was in. I was in a pit, and I loved that pit. We had a bunch of friends down there, and we just wanted to stay down there in our pit. And God was able to pull me out, and I was like, whoa, what is this? And gave me a life I could never have imagined. Yes, the greatest thing, personally knowing Jesus, if that's true, if that is true, that's the greatest thing that's ever happened to you, don't you want to share that with somebody else? Don't you want somebody else to know that? Think about that for a minute. Their answer is, well, when I got my Ferrari, that was a great day. And you're like, wow, I could tell you something far greater than that. And I want to share it with you. You know, this has to be our attitude. Otherwise, we'll never share the gospel. And a lot of you don't, and that's exactly why. We just don't really think it's that valuable. We think it's good for us, it's safe that I keep it here, but as far as it's going, when I die, at least I can feel like I'm going to be okay. But that's not at all what it was meant to do. God set you free, and when you really know that inside, you cannot keep it in there. You can't. I tried. I don't want to be a pastor. God's like, yeah, you can't shut your mouth about Jesus. You're the kind of person that has to go out there and do that. Me? Am I different than you? No. Are we different than anybody? You know, where is it? I just read this. I think the scripture says something about Elijah who prayed that it wouldn't rain. And he says, a man just like you and me, something like that, something to that effect. And that really struck me. I'm like, you know, he was just like me. There's nothing different about us. We were both made by God in his image, breathed life in us, put us on the planet to do something. And he had so much faith and trust in God that he prayed that it wouldn't rain and it didn't. And then he prayed it would rain and it did. And we sit here and go, God, can you heal my little toe? You know, how much do you believe this? And I'm really realizing, I really went off on a tangent here, because I'm really realizing we're never going to evangelize or do any of this if we don't really believe it with our whole heart that it's the most important thing that ever happened to me and I must share it with somebody else before they die. Because I love people. Right. So then introduce them to Jesus, right? Introduce them to Jesus. See, and that's all you're doing. You're introducing them to Jesus. We don't save people. I'm not trying to train you how to save people. I don't even want you to close the deal, is how I phrase it. I don't even think you need to close the deal. I've met so many people through the years, and more recently a chaplain that was all about closing the... He'd come in, hey, how's it going? You know, he got another one to the Lord today. And I was like, wow, that guy has led more people to Christ in a month than I did in a year. Because that was his main focus, and he thought he was, because he would close the deal. People will say whatever you want, especially when they're in the hospital. What if you die on the operating table? Do you know where you're going to go? Well, you want to go to heaven? Say this prayer with me. Well, they're going to go. All right. You know, that's not how we do it. We need to be able to introduce them to Christ, let the power of God work in them. It'll be genuine then. That's why you don't see a lot of hyper-conversions at the church. I don't have moments of, oh, close your eyes, everybody do this. And, you know, people will do stuff. I want the Holy Spirit to work on hearts. You get converted, and you cannot keep it quiet. And that's what I've learned about people that truly get saved. They can't keep it quiet. All right. It's a relationship. Apollo Yeah, I plant. Yeah. That's right. You know, we see that in agriculture. You know, we can put a seed in the ground, we can water it. How it happens after that's all God. That thing sprouts and grows and produces fruit all without me. It's the same thing with a person. They're born again, they grow, producing fruit, according to Jesus. All God's work. It's all God. So our job is just to do what? Hey, I love you, and I'd like you to meet my friend who made my life better than it's ever been. It's Jesus. Well, how do we do that without people running? That brings us back to evangelism and apologetics. What people need to hear is that regardless of their past or their present, God has a plan for their future the moment that they call on Him for whatever He has for them. And I say it that way because we know what He has for them. We don't have to force all that on them. You got to come to church. You got to start doing this. Don't do that. That is not effective. What is effective is just leading them to Him. And I've left my dad with this several times. Tonight, when you're all alone and you're in bed, I want you to just call out to God. No one's going to hear you. Nothing foolish about it. Just go, if you're there, I really need to hear from you. And do it. Yeah, doesn't it? But God has a plan for them. All we need to do is get that conversation going. And then, you know, all these other things do come into it. Your lifestyle is one that they would look at and go, I would listen to that person. They seem logical and moral, and, you know, I think what they're telling me has some substance to it. That's really, really important. Knowledge is important. We have Bible studies because we need to know God better, and that's our purpose of Bible studies. But none of that matters if we don't go out there with that and try to reach people for Christ. Try to get them to meet I want to say friend, but He's so much more than that. But He calls us friend, doesn't He? Yes. Yeah, that's good stuff. That's right. That's why all your experiences do matter. You know, I remember when I first got saved in 1996 around there, and I had this tattoo. They weren't that popular or common back then, and I felt a little bit weird because none of the other guys in church really had any. And then I got in the homeless ministry, and I was like suddenly somebody in the homeless ministry. The homeless were coming to me more. They were talking to me. I had something no one else had. They're like, hey, you've been out there, huh? I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess. I mean, didn't think it was like that, but it did give me something to talk about. And so she's right. Whatever you have, use it. Don't hide it. Don't lie. Bring it out. Let God use it. People try too hard. And I'm included in that. I used to try really hard. We try too hard to get people, and they know it. It's like a used car salesman. You know when they're desperate. You know when they're pushing you, right? That's why they got a bad name. You know where the salesman's your buddy when you first get there? Going to help you out. I know exactly whatever you want, I'm here for you. And then a little way into the deal, they bring their manager buddy into the deal, and he becomes your new buddy. We're going to get you the car you want. Don't you worry about it. Because who are they fighting? That finance manager upstairs. Don't worry about it. I'll be back. And they leave, and you sit there, and you're like, I hope they do it. I hope they get it done for me. We're not doing that. All we're doing is going right to the manufacturer and going, he wants to know you. There you go. I've said enough. Go ahead and meet him. I've left so many people recently. That's my new approach. When I leave here, I'm going to pray with you, and then I'm going to leave. But when I leave here, I want you to pick up that conversation with God because He really wants to hear from you. I don't know how many people do. I don't really care. I did my job. But we do have to do it, right? We are representing and sharing a love and a family that every person was meant to be a part of. They were meant to be. You're going to give people information that they've never heard before. you were meant to be part of the family of God. He wanted you from the very beginning to be in that. Whatever you've done in the past up to this point, what you're doing today, won't really matter to God once you join His family. He wants to accept you the way you are. And people have a hard time with that. Give me some feedback. Is that true? People have a hard time with that? I've witnessed the people and they've said, you don't know how bad I've been. As if I am past that point. You know what I like to always tell them? Yeah. You ever killed anybody? Most people say no. I have had a guy go, well, I'm like, oh. But have you ever killed anybody? No. Well, you ever heard of Moses? You know Moses, the big biblical figure. Everybody celebrates Moses, the Ten Commandments of Moses. They go, oh, yeah, Moses. He killed a guy before God ever used him. Just snuffed him out in the desert and buried him right there in the sand. And they go, never heard that before. I'm like, get a Bible. I'll show you. And they go, can't believe it. David, King David? I mean, now in this Me Too movement, people are going, you know, when you really carefully look at that story of the powerful king and this little woman that her husband's off the war, he pretty much raped her. But regardless, there was adultery going on there, and God still used them. You know, so when people tell you how bad they've been, that's okay. What's the other one I've heard? Moses was a basket case. Noah was a drunk. Noah was a drunk. Did you know that? Cruising around in his yacht. Doesn't matter, Keith. That's not blasphemy. All right. I'm sorry, Patty. I don't care. I just tell him, you know, that's fine. It's fine. It's not our job. See, that's what they want to hear. They want you to go, well, you can't do that anymore. I don't care what you do. If you can know God and do that, good for you. Come on, feedback on that one. See, because this is where things get different from the mainstream church of grandma. You've got to quit doing everything and wear a tie. No, I don't. I remember when I got saved. I didn't have to do anything. I knew God. I knew him. I knew I'd been born again. And suddenly I was like, these have no attraction anymore. That has no attraction. Things just fell off. And I know that will happen for every single person. I know for a fact when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells with the person, they will change. They'll want to. I don't have to tell them they need to. That's just going to turn them away. This is why it's so important that we really understand that aspect of God. He does that work. We don't. Well, I mean, in what context? No, my church doesn't make you quit things. My church isn't going to get into your personal life and tell you to quit stuff. Yeah. Well, how many... Listen, some of you are drug addicts here. Legally, you're taking drugs that are druggies. Well, I'm just saying, you know, when if we start getting into that, where's the line now? Is it because you buy yours at the pharmacy and I buy mine here? Is that okay? You know, I don't really care what you do. I love you, and I know what's good for you, and I want that for you. And if you ask me, and see, that's where the difference is. We should all be doing all these things, mentoring being included. Come alongside people. And if there's someone you met in the church and they're a relatively new believer and they start coming and they know they believe in Christ and they're madly in love with Him like you are, and they come and give you that and go, I've been doing this thing, you know, I'm just so used to it. I don't think I should do it anymore. What do you think? You know, now you have the right to say, well, the Bible tells us that this is a temple that the Holy Spirit dwells in. Yeah, pretty much. Because I know does anyone agree or disagree with me? I know for a fact if the Holy Spirit dwells with a person, they will be conscious of it and deal with it. They have to. Otherwise, they're just not saved and they're not there yet. We'll still love them. We'll sing songs with them. They can listen to my messages until they get born again. That's not going to happen. As it is for many people here on Sunday. There are people sitting in here that have yet to be saved. They think they are. They're doing the thing. And they're still going, you know, I'm not there yet. But they will be if they truly are seeking the truth. Or you got to stop doing that before you come. I remember my first Sunday after getting saved. I felt so dirty. I was like popping Tic Tacs. Like, they could probably all smell me. I was convicted. And then little by little, nobody told me to quit anything. God did. God said, we don't do that. Remember? We don't do that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. If they're aware of it, there's already a problem. They already feel convicted. Yeah. So don't rub it in. Okay. Yeah, you have freedom, I say. You know, people have asked me this before, you know, do you guys allow gays in your church? Do you allow gays in your church? Yes, we do. In case you didn't know, they are more than welcome to come in here. Okay. Is it a sin? It absolutely is. I don't want you doing it in front of me either. But I also don't want you sitting back there shooting heroin or you doing shots of whiskey or, you know, I don't want those things going on in church either. So we tolerate, and on any given Sunday, there's probably people like that in here. That's exactly right. That's exactly how they're ever going to get saved if they don't come in and hear the message, see the loving people that aren't judging them, and then those same people start saying, you know, I used to be like that. You know, that's why I'm so transparent. I like people to know what I used to be because they just can't believe it. Are you allowed to be a pastor? I don't know, Moses killed a dude and he was allowed to lead the people out of Egypt, you know. God gave him the Ten Commandments. Did Debbie? Yeah. That's right. Ever. We will fail miserably. We will be a church like many churches, just dry, you know, going through motions and expecting people to step up to our level so we can love them better. That's right. So it's about a relationship, and that's a really important evangelism and apologetics approach. It's about I'm not trying to sell you on religion. I'm not trying to sell you on anything. I want you to know this relationship I have, and people like relationships. It's what people are missing in their lives, right? They're missing a relationship with their Creator. What's the reason for all this? You know, the answer to life's most deep questions, why am I here? But people are asking that, whether they're asking you or not, they want to know that. Everybody comes to a place in their life where they become aware. And they suddenly realize, I'm one of all these people doing all, what are we here for? Everybody does. That's it. You just got to the point where you realized you have a purpose. And that purpose is a relationship with God. And people will say, you know, what does God want from me? Remember, we're not trying to sell them something. We're sharing the greatest message ever. I love that. I am sharing with you something that's better than insider secrets on the stock market. What I have is so tremendously valuable, and I want to share that with you. It's the greatest message ever conceived. And this is where our message gets so satisfying when you share it with people. It's not what does God want from you. Get this. And there you said it before me, but yeah. It's what does God want for you. That is what the message really is. Because people do that. Well, what does God want from me? And that's where I developed that from. Because I went, oh, he doesn't want anything from you. He wants something for you. He made you for a reason. He wants you to have that reason, that abundant life. That's why Jesus made it a point to say, I didn't come just to give you life, but to give it abundantly. That's right. What does God want for you? See, when you get to that point, now the whole atmosphere changes. There's almost like a, oh. Because up to this point, I thought God wanted something from me and I was going to have to, you know, your friend, quit doing stuff. I'm going to have to clean up my language. You know, it just disappears, doesn't it? Unless you're at home by yourself and you hit your finger with a hammer. Is it just me? Right. Yeah, that'd be a great little study, wouldn't it? How did this person come into the picture? What was being said about them before they did this tremendous thing for God? What does God want for you? Because remember, God is for you, not against you. Right? And He's for everybody. Remember, we're in an age of grace. God is not against any of these bad people, so to speak. They have the chance to turn around. He is against sin. He is against evil and so on. But a person can turn. So God is for, and that needs to be our message. Please, if you don't get anything, make that the main part of your approach to people. God is for you, and that's all I want to share with you is God's for you. Just want to tell you some good news, because they've all heard what you and I have heard. They all went to church and religion and been judged, and they need to hear something different. I'm going to stop right there. I got lots of stuff on the relationship, but I think that's a good thing. I want you to just, you know, remember that. Your approach needs to be, I love you, and if you don't love people, let's get back into that. Let's talk about it. What's wrong? Do you not really feel loved by God? Is that what's wrong? Because He loves you. And when you receive that love, you realize that He loves everybody like He loves me. And He wants to save them. I need to love them just like He does. Or we say, I want to be like Jesus. Who wants to be like Jesus? Yeah, I think every one of you raised your hand. Well, guess what? He loves everybody. So you got to love them. Get over those little things. People are weird. I know. I'm one. But love them anyway. All right. Anybody want to say anything? Anybody want to ask anything? I either do a real good job or you guys really just don't have anything. Right. It's one or the other. I always think there's got to be a question or some kind of... Well, I just want to make sure I'm doing my job and trying to motivate my church to be like Jesus. Not talk about Him, not agree that He's great, but actually be like Him when we step outside. That's just the most important thing we could ever do. And we will reach a lot of people. You will see this building tore down one day if we do that, because we'll need to build more space. Actually, we won't. We'll just plant another church. I always say that, but no, I like little churches, and I think there should be a million of them. Yes, Patty. You know, it's really whatever God calls you to do. I don't know. You know, God called me to go out, and I used to go to the jail years ago. Remember? And that got me warmed up and stuff. And now I go to the hospital, and I'm really going out to a bunch. But there is still a group of people I've been witnessing to for 20 years. So it's both for me. I don't know how that works. Maybe, but you get there. But, yeah, me either. I don't memorize scripture that well. I just know what God says. And see, that's the importance of knowing God. I know my Father well. I can tell you about Him. If you go, well, where's that in the Bible? Well, thank Google. I can tell you in a second. Honestly, I got to Google stuff because I can't memorize well. But I do know God well enough that I can say it. God says this. And if somebody goes, well, where does He say that? Well, I can show you in a minute, but I don't sit there. Matter of fact, I think it's probably a plus. I've always been turned off by people that, well, 2 Samuel this and Psalms, and I'll tell you everything the Bible says. And I'm like, are you doing any of it? Or, you know, it's good to know that. It's better to live it. Right. Whose hand? Owen? That's right. Yeah, you're right. It may be one, it may be ten. All right. Yeah. Yeah, if we kept numbers, the percentage is low, right? That's why I don't. Just keep on going. Just keep on keeping on. Yeah. There's a nurse that, you know, months ago I met, and she said something about her little son. Something was wrong with him. No, daughter. She has a son and a daughter. Oh, what's her name? Sky. I'll keep her in prayer. She goes, oh, that's so nice. Well, that's developed into regular conversations now. I'm able to talk about Jesus, salvation, where are you at with your faith? You know, it's a process. I didn't try to get in there the first day and say, well, if you say this, God, you know, you need to go to church and quit that smoking, you know. Just little at a time. Don't know if I'll ever see her again. And sure enough, God's like, I brought her right into your path again. I made her schedule meet your schedule. And yeah, little by little. Walk in the Spirit. That's what the Word says. Walk in step with the Spirit. All right. Good. Want to go home? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the message. It's the best message we could ever imagine hearing and the best message we could ever repeat. So Lord, help us to walk in step with the Spirit, not being afraid, but trusting in you as you said in your Word, not to worry what to say, for at that moment the Holy Spirit will give you the words. And we believe that. We believe you love us. We believe you'll never leave us or forsake us. We believe, Lord, that we have a home in heaven, a home in your kingdom, wherever that is, but that we will always be with you. And so, Lord, help us to be bold to share that good news with others. Give us a love for the lost. Let us have a heartfelt compassion for the lost, Lord, that we may be like Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.